Yeah. November F pump.
Give me a smile.
Come on, I want to smile.
This is the hell of a
Well, these guys have to say, yeah, and then we'll go.
I don't know if this is a good idea. Because it would be a good idea with everybody else's.
Making a big deal of other movies. However,
it's a pretty big camera to bring to a meeting.
Yeah.
It's her birthday.
Hey, you're right.
And I will be taking a lot of pictures.
Okay.
Of you.
Of me. Great.
That's a pretty big cup of coffee to be bringing to this meeting.
I knew you'd be talking.
Yeah. You know, we used to work together. It's just like we were working together yesterday.
Very little has changed.
Tough to find seats.
Oh, man.
Well, when you have a great fit, everybody counts. Well, we're dismissing one person. Where is he?
Well, it's not 10 o'clock.
I was afraid I was going to be late. Turns out I'm early.
You're right on time. Very timely, Brad. So I guess logistics, the restrooms are out there to the right, I guess.
Anybody? Well, the men's are there.
Men's are there. Women's are over there. Okay. Anybody know where Laura's office is?
Yeah.
Is it one in the rear?
I don't see it.
Want to go out to the desk and see if they can rouse him? Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, no, he knows.
He's not here. He's either here or he's not here.
I've got this on the
screen.
Must be able to be here when he gets it.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Well, I guess we could probably get started here. Does everybody have an agenda to start with? Bill's got his agenda.
Everybody has an agenda.
Agenda, I know. I mean, anybody have a paper hard copy of an agenda?
Here's the sign-up sheet. Which way is it going?
That way.
This way?
Sign up on the sheet.
Did you unmute the phone?
Yeah, we're unmuted. So I know, Natalie, you're on the phone. Anybody else on the phone? Natalie, you're still there, correct?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on mute.
Okay.
Natalie, you're too.
Who's that?
Benton.
Scott?
Oh.
No, he's pretty sick.
Sick.
Yeah. I'm glad you're not in the room. After hearing you yesterday.
You sounded pretty bad. I thought that was
okay, well, let's go around the table so people on the phone know who's here. I'll start. Bernard Klatt with the Corps.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
Amy Lynn, Corps.
Brad Eppert, Corps.
Ann Sutter, Corps.
Greg Moody, Corps.
Carl Duggar, Corps.
Deb Bouse, Corps.
Wow. Anybody else? Anybody else on?
Wow. We should have a little core war today. We might win.
We need some work done.
Bill Evelyn, NOAA Fisheries.
Ann Stevenson, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Dave Bender, Fish Pass Center.
Derek Frederickson, all fisheries.
Shane.
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
And Rick Kruger went to the restroom. So, looking at the agenda, anything you guys want to add? Lower to the agenda. We've got one ad from Mr. Gregg, maybe. What is it?
Last Friday, I sent out a coordination on Lower Granite Exciters installation. Bill wanted to send that thing out before we worked on the other one, so I sent it out. I didn't attach it to the agenda, unfortunately.
So, Lower Granite Exciter installation.
And that's a coordination form?
That's a coordination form. It was mailed up separate than the agenda I sent out.
Okay. Anything else? Any other ads?
B2 corner collector?
Oh, I'm sure we'll be talking about that soon.
Don't worry. Okay.
It's number six.
Number six, okay.
Number six, B2 corner collector. Yes.
Everything.
Thanks.
Anybody else going once, twice? All right, we have one add-on. Before we get started, there's some bagels there. Tammy, of course, did a regular snack master.
The cupcakes have filling in them that's peanut butter M&M bars, and then we have banana strawberry bars here. And just so you know, while today is my birthday, November also includes Lori Ebner, Ed Meyer, Vern Clad, Dennis Schwartz, and Nathan Zort. And last month, since we didn't meet, we had Scott Benton and Tom Moores.
I'm glad Meyer's not there.
Let me share
Happy
the
birthday.
Pain.
Yeah. Happy out. Birthday.
I'm glad Meyer's not there.
Happy birthday.
I'll have to try butter are.
Okay.
Too chummy.
Just.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Here, I got some sandpaper. You want to just rub it on my head for a while?
Classic knife.
I know. This can be a challenge. But I'll
okay, well, let's start with our Portland review our agenda and approve minutes from last week. Approve the minutes. Any comments, concerns, issues last month, which was actually September, right?
Yes.
Since this is kind of an October-November combo. All right, they're leads us into number two, action items. John Day, DSM orifices. Schwartz is going to bring it to Fitterwig, and I don't know if he has or not.
I don't know if you brought it up at Fitterwig. I do have an update. The project has they're implementing, adding to their protocol when they do their inspections, looking using the camera to look at the slot, and as they cycle the orifices, they'll be watching over the camera to make sure that things are working properly. So that's where they're at right now. So not good enough. They're adding to their protocol for their inspections, the project.
Okay.
So that when they go in and inspect the gate wells and the everything and when they cycle the orifices, they are going to be watching with a camera to make sure that things are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Actually watching the orifices.
Yes.
Open and close.
Yes.
That's not the, just the valves now.
That's what I understand.
Okay. The actual
brief camera is looking at the slot. This ascertains that the gate is functioning properly. At least it has a visual confirmation of connectivity.
Okay.
Is what it says. And they've already initiated that.
All right, thanks. Our next item, 212, is fish counts. Is that all you came for?
No.
I should have put you at the bottom. So, dealing with the contract, you want to give an update on our fish counting?
We've been requested by NOAA, of course, to do some fish counting in the fall and spring. And we've set that into the contract. Probably been requested by other groups to do nighttime lamprey counts at the Dalles and John Day. We're going to be doing that. Those are the two additional counts that are going on this year. Now, it's not going to be in every year, but say the first count that I was talking about. The counts on the fall and the spring are not going to be every year. It'll be just one year, and we're going to rotate them through because of financial needs. We're also going to be doing it also in the Portland or the Walla Walla District the same way. We'll start at McNary and work our way upstream one time a year. We're already doing it at Granite, so it's only going to be at, we're already doing it at Bonneville also.
Right.
But we'll start at McNary and work our way upstream. Every year, a new dam. The early fall and the spring counts. Those new video counts.
Were you going to pull together a group of people to talk about this, or is that sort
this
of
this is
final?
It. This is the
that's
announcement.
It.
Yeah, we have to get the contract awarded. But I mean, we can have a group now from now on to decide how we want to move forward.
Well, I'd like to have some input on which projects win. I agree with the rolling idea, but there's some projects that have a burning need and others that don't. So,
well,
sooner the better, because it could be, you know, 5, 4, 5, 6 years between projects. So it could be 5 years before I get John Day out.
No, it's not going to be 5 years. The first year's bond, you know, is going to be John Day, or the Dallas.
Oh, I thought you said McNary. Okay.
The next year will be...
Can we see a schedule? Can I see a schedule? Wait, you haven't... You've got it
in
your head.
I don't
have
it with
so
me. I've got my head. But you can
see a schedule of what you're going to do for fall and spring counts early.
Yeah, that'd be easy to do.
For the next...
3 years.
2 years.
Right.
To see where we're at, make sure it jives with our needs based on construction and operational issues that we have out there. So John Day's come up several times recently, and maybe we're getting beyond the point where we need it, but it's flying blind.
Yeah, basically, so start the Dows and work with John Day.
Okay.
And then the next year, well, the same year, the first year, McNary,
I would just look at our construction schedules and things that we're getting through Fairway and say, okay, well, we're going to need to make some, you know, decisions on early outages and things like that, or late outages at these dams. So we're going
to
need
it'd be nice to put that in. I mean, it's going to be going out here in another couple of weeks.
Right, so let's put a schedule together, and we'll float it.
Put a schedule, and I'll show you.
And then we'll talk about it next step.
I just want to make sure that it jives with our needs, otherwise I don't want to waste money. I mean, like, we need the data, but we need it timely as well. So some thoughts should go into what, you know, what projects are out there being constructed, and we're kind of getting towards the end of that cycle of stuff, but you know, maybe it's not as...
So is the flexibility built into the contract you're getting ready to award to allow what he's asking for?
That's going
to
be tough.
Well, is it that specific per dam, or is it just say...
It's specific per dam.
Okay.
And year.
So let's get that out for review soon, so that we can mod if we need to.
Some discussion and some input on that, because that's the point. Is we want to make sure that we have data for those dams where we're making decisions now. I know there's anything can happen any time from an O&M standpoint.
Then I'll send it out.
What's the award date?
Award date will be December 15th.
Okay, so we need to get that out soon.
There's no way you can do that with saying, okay, one of these DMs is going to be a spring and fall component to it, and we'll decide that as we get into it for next year. Give us a few weeks of breathing space, or are we pretty much stuck on that?
We're pretty much stuck.
We can always, it costs money to mod a contract, but if you feel really strongly about what's set in stone, that you really don't want it to go forward, and we agree with you, then we can spend the money to mod the contract. So I think...
Well, this could be done pretty quickly. I just need to get the... it's the guys in the fitter wigs, whoever's in charge of that, like Brad here, thinking about projects that we have in the next few years, or next year, really.
Right.
The year after that is another contract, right?
This every
is
an 3 years. 3 year contract.
3 years. Okay, right. Well, then we need to make sure that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I mean, why don't you go through one more time the 3 years, though? So on the lower river, it'd be Dalles, John Day, and then what's the third year?
Third year, that's it for this contract for the lower river.
Okay.
Walla Walla District, first year, Walla Walla, McNary. Right. Second year, Ice. Third year, Lola.
Just working your way up.
Just working our way up.
That sort of makes sense unless you have that special needs.
Special research going on.
It's a real active construction.
So the next Walla Walla fitter wig is, I think, the 16th of November.
It is.
And maybe the question should come up there if there's going to be any projects that affect adult passage?
Derek, Brad and Derek, what do we got going on? I mean, we all know what's on the agenda or what's on
the... Bonneville, but that's not till...
Bonneville is the same as always.
We're okay with Bonneville.
Yeah. That's 14.
So we've got AWS system at the Dalles. It could require an outage possibly. We've got work going on at John Day right now. It should be done, but it could...
The new detectors, I don't know if that plays into it. The pit detectors, one of those going into John Day.
There should be okay doing in water work. I don't think we would need extra time for those, I hope. At John Day, that could. Yeah.
If it's the off year, I'm trying to remember the schedule for.
I just want to look at the schedules and make sure that it jives with that schedule. That's all. It just makes sense that we make sure that we get the data that we need.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I've asked for input for about 3 months now, also. And this is right down to the line right now. It is. Period. So we'll try. We'll see if we can work it in. But I need input now.
Well, I'm surprised. I thought reading through something in here that there was going to be a group put together.
The ad hoc group is basically burning myself.
Hmm?
Burning myself.
Yeah, well, there should have been some people working with you on that. I thought I read somewhere where there would be a group put together for winter fish counts.
Test fish count task group.
That's it.
I recall we were going to do something like that.
That's what we would do in a task group. We would decide what
we would really set up a task group. It was basically we were going to get together, him and I, and we were going to present a plan, and then we were going to talk about it as a task group.
I was waiting for that.
How about the scope? If the scope hasn't gone out yet, can they review the scope that's going to be going out for participants to respond to?
It's been out since the 15th of last month, the RFI.
If you're just talking about the schedule, that's
request for information now. But the scope of the actual work.
We can show you the schedule of when you want the thing done. That I can put out.
Okay, well, this is not just me, it's a regional issue. So, I mean, it only makes sense that we get the data for the projects. If it's going to be a 3-year, 4-year cycle between projects, then we have the data in hand that we need for decision points that are ahead of us. And we should take a look at what those decision points might be.
Let's get the schedule, and we can send it to Brad and
maybe
Derek.
Maybe you're just fine.
And then
it may not have to change a bit.
We'll also, if we have to mod the contract.
We'll make adjustments accordingly.
If we were doing this every year at every project, it wouldn't matter, but it's that rolling.
No, it's a rolling thing.
And I agree with that. That's the only way that we really want to do it. We just want to make sure we start in the way that makes sense.
Cool. Dave?
So I just make sure when you send this schedule out, you can be very explicit on which year, which project, obviously, but times, the starting dates, and the actual times that you're doing.
Yeah, that's in it also.
For each of these, one's for the latter visual counts, I assume, and the other's the nighttime. So the times and dates are of interest.
That can be done. Well, that is done.
Okay.
Is the lamprey component of this, the night counting, is that going on every year?
Lamprey would go on every year.
That's why it's continuous on roll. I know Bob will do
it. It'd be continuous.
So it's not going to be part of the rolling?
No.
Okay,
no.
I misunderstood that when you said that. Okay.
So that's not so.
No, so it's already separate.
Okay, all right. That was unclear, I'm sorry.
Okay, great, thanks.
The video part, that's still in development, right? What? Video monitor for library? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Or is it just the reading of the...
It's the reading.
Of the tapes that's in development.
Yeah.
Because we're just doing video monitoring.
Right.
This is the count window. Not
at the count window. We're not doing the picking of leads. We're not doing that.
That's a different... That's,
okay,
that's entirely different.
So, right. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, if you'd just be specific on exactly what's what, that would be helpful.
Yeah, that's in the contract.
Hey, Greg, this may not change anything. I just want to make sure that it jives. That's all.
Certainly.
Okay, so we'll probably see that hopefully...
Until Friday.
So early next week?
Probably Friday.
Friday or early next week, okay.
I'll be up until Friday this week to inventory. Friday, look for it.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Yep.
It's just a surprise.
Surprise. There's always a surprise coming your way. Here's another one. Spill Bay Hoist 15 is there. Ooh. Hoist work has been awarded.
Really?
There's your surprise.
Cool, that's a good surprise.
However.
Usually you don't get to get surprises.
I know. However.
All the other ones are broken.
I've already deflated. It doesn't matter what you say.
It won't be available until May. that's not that bad, but.
Yeah, I was going to say May of 2030. Or
yeah,
like
yeah, I just say May.
Just as soon as unit 11's done.
That's right. As soon as 11.
Where's Dennis?
Dennis, he's
hiding.
Make us another promise.
All right, boy, that was painful. Yeah, I know. I'm ready.
Dave's got a question for you, bro.
Dave.
He always raises his hand.
I know.
He's such a good boy. So, I'm just trying to remember all the ins and outs that we went through with this thing before. Is this going to require some sort of shutting off bays to move things from one bay to the other or something like that? Didn't we move something from...
Mm-hmm.
Bay 15 or 16. So if this isn't done until May, that means they have to shut things down and have some sort of outage to move things back or something?
I don't think so. John, on that 15, I mean, you just got to replace it, right? Let's shut 15 and replace it.
You know, I don't know for sure.
They might want to move stuff back, but they could probably wait until the end of spill season.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're thinking about
it. So the 15 would actually be 17 automated?
I don't know. I have to ask.
Right. Well, right now, 15 went to 17.
Right, okay.
And so 15 for now.
It's that hoist that we're fixing. If we fix that hoist and it's sitting on 17, then it's running 17 automatically.
Okay, so we're not.
I don't know. That's a rhetorical question.
It's just my question.
When we took it out of service, you know, things were moved all over the place, and the project did want to put stuff back to mm-hmm. where it belongs. So whether we do that in May when the hoist comes back, or we just wait until the end of spill season.
May would not be.
Okay.
Right.
Well, we'll keep it on the agenda.
I do need to say that.
It's on the card.
Yeah. So let's leave this one on the agenda.
It needs another pattern. You can go down and work on a pattern for when it goes out of service.
Do you want to ask an update then?
Yeah, we'll keep it as an update until it's done. Which means we won't have so many. Okay, wall action items, 2.2.
It's the same that was just covered.
This one's a repeat, which I'm going to cross out. Move on, 2.3. These are completed, are going to be discussed later, so we can get right into updates in 3. Turbine cooling water strainer spreadsheet has been posted to the website. Can we just get rid of that thing?
You have to have traveling.
Can we take that off the agenda?
Can we just take it off?
No, I need to know that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I know, I do too.
I forget where it is.
You forget what?
Yeah.
What?
Thanks for leaving it on.
Sure. Maybe we can have you. Yeah, what is the update?
Yeah, what is the update? You better be checking that.
I don't even know what they're talking about. I strained some spaghetti last night.
I was going to check it this morning, but I didn't have time.
Well, I don't think anything was found this month, at least up on the snake. Good. So we had a couple months since we've seen anything.
Yeah. I didn't mean to ask the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, we have a chat.
So, speaking of the website,
yeah.
I hope you guys have visited the website and found it quite useful.
Yeah.
Because Tammy's been putting a lot of work into that thing.
When I should be doing other stuff.
That's right. She's like, whenever she doesn't want to do something, she goes to the website and plays around. She's like, I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm working on the website. Like, all right.
Leave me alone.
Where are those spill tables is all I keep asking her. So, yeah, we've got the winter maintenance there. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. We've got our critical infrastructure list on there. So, yeah, if you haven't been to the website lately, go check it out.
There's a website?
Yeah, can you believe it? It's the TMT website, FPOM, and then there you can just get
Bitterwig is on there.
So, all notes.
I'll ask you about something later on that webpage.
Oh.
That's another issue.
Uh-oh.
That means somebody's gone there. I welcome issues.
I went
to
there and I was very frustrated at what I was trying to do. All I wanted to do was do
navigation ones.
Oh, no, you can't get to the FPP from the FPOM website. You get
you have
to
go
from
to
TMT.
FPOM.
It's so simple. FPP, FPOM. They're the same.
Okay, well, I can put a link on there. That's, I'll do that.
Just a quick link, yeah. Okay, that's just kind of the first place I went to get it.
Well, that's good. You're going to the right place.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was.
Well, almost.
But it wasn't.
I know.
I'll
figure
out how to do a link.
Links are easy. Okay, 313, Lomo, Erdic, Spill Trip, Regional Trip, Setter and Bailey. What's the status on that?
So, John, when we went back, kind of took the lead on that. He talked with Derek Fryer. They talked with Bill Hevlin. They talked with Ryan Lowry about setting this up, although I'm not sure if Ryan's going to be the lead for hydraulics there. And basically, we had wanted to get this done so it could be included in the FPP, any changes, but then Bill has a scheduling issue where it can't be done until after the first of the year is what I was told. So
right now, I think the third week of January is planned.
Okay.
Anybody have a January calendar? Monday,
yeah,
I think is it the 21st or...
If you look at your agenda here, let's see.
I got it right
here. 21st, yes. 23rd.
The 23rd to the 27th.
Okay.
I can't
Lomo,
read that. It's not
spill pattern, and also we need any lower granite spill pattern work. We'll do it that week, too.
What week is that again?
23rd.
January 23rd.
Okay.
My sister's birthday.
27.
Okay.
So, is there something that we're not aware of with lower granite? I don't remember you bringing that up.
Well, are you going to be in the meeting tomorrow afternoon? Yeah, the discussion now is that for this, an offset for this MOP plus 3 operation, well, it's not, in a way, it's not even an offset because if you go up to MOP plus 3, you're going to have quite a bit more water going over the RSW at granite, so you're going to have to work on the spill pattern to balance that out in the tail race. You're going to have more training spill. So that's what we'll need to do in the model. It might go from 7 kcfs to say 10 kcfs through the RSW, and then so you're going to have to open up more training spill base. But we want to do that in the model to see how it goes.
And just, I have to add a point of clarification to that. The MOP plus 3 operation should be a possible option. At this time, there hasn't been any formal decision to go to that operation. So I just want to make sure.
I'm wearing my political hat.
Yeah. I just have to be clear for the process and everybody's expectations.
We want to be prepared for it, right, Doug, Bill?
Yeah. I think it's reasonable to have.
What's your percent likelihood?
Alternatives. Well, we have
that's 5% that it might not happen.
There's still additional coordination that needs to occur, so it would be premature to have discussions here to say that we, so more to come on that, but it's plausible, I guess. Say that based on the information that's been presented, there's a problem, it's getting worse.
Yeah. It's plausible. If you were going to plan ahead, you would do this.
It's a plausible option.
We're being good Boy Scouts.
Yes.
Getting ready.
And being prepared.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Is dredging an option?
Channel maintenance is
capital C.
But again, that's part of another lawsuit that, and that's why one of the challenges is implementing the NEPA associated with channel maintenance before you're going out and doing that. Looking at what is the suite of other tools in the toolbox to provide safe navigation. So,
all stuff on your plate, it sounds like.
There's a lot of interest right now. So with all the ongoing settlement agreement and the current situation with respect to the FCRPS buyout, it's just balancing them all out and trying to come up with an operation.
No, 10 minutes.
All
right. When's Laura's going to show up? Anybody?
I'd
say 10:45.
10 minutes from now.
9:45, I mean. He's usually no later than 10 to 10. I'm going to go with 10 to 10.
Price is Right rules?
Yeah.
We'll just have it. For that week, we'll have it on our agenda.
I'll say 9 to 10.
And if it's not needed, we won't do it. We'll have plenty to work to do at home.
Okay. Not in my house.
It's his rules.
His rules. Okay, so can we move on to the next 313 is January 23rd tentative trip. McNary debris spill update.
Yeah, you want me to go ahead with that, Carl, and just add to it? At the last meeting, you'll recall we did a blanket, and the following week, it took us about a week to get the debris cleared so that we could reopen the JFF for sampling, and then they continue through the end of the year. And then last week, last Tuesday, we again did some debris removal. It didn't require coordination because we didn't do any unit priority changes. Essentially, they just used the boat they had borrowed from Lower Granite, went in and lassoed it and moved it over. We worked with BPA to find some water to allow them to spill it. So no change of operation, but the debris, I think something to put on everyone's radar is debris is building up at McNary in the last couple years to a greater extent than it did before. We had both TSWs everywhere, and we don't really have a good, at least I haven't heard from the project, and you know, why we're getting more debris at different times of year, whether this was a different year or not. You know, well, that last year that Brad was here, which was the year before Carl started 2 years ago, he mentioned that when we took the TSWs out, we seemed to be building up more summer debris and that they had been assisting with that. And then, you know, that was more mentioned. We didn't really have to do any change of operations, didn't have to do any unplanned debris spills. But then, you know, also recall that last winter when they went in, we did have a fair amount of tumbleweeds that were sunk in front of those units. So that was kind of a lamprey issue. I think the other debris update is the project should have their trash rake kind of sewn together, if you will, for temporary use until a permanent is under design, and it'll probably be a year before they have an upgraded new permanent trash rake. So, you know, the spring of 2013, it's planned that they'll have something that actually is safe and functional for the personnel. So what happened, like a lot of the projects, at least what is coming on my radar in my short time here, is that things are built, and then when you go out in the field and use them, you end up with underrated equipment. And so the underrated equipment ages more quickly than it breaks, becomes a safety hazard for personnel, and that's exactly what happened with the trash rake at McNary. So it is underrated for what we've been doing.
Value
so
engineering.
Actually what happened, the stops failed, and the operator didn't catch it in time, so there's kind of a dual problem there. And did a lot of damage to it. But Crane 5 was, you know, there since the dam became operational in 1953 or so. Mm-hmm. And they really need a spare crane, for one thing. That's the only crane we have. Everything else and that stuff. So we really need a spare crane. I told them they should insure it for a lot of money and then push it over into the river some night or something, but nobody would buy one.
So you need to petition the service to put the crane on the endangered species list.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's over 40 years old.
We're having the same problems at the sites.
Is that a joke for Dave Wells?
But the spill went very well. We're really grateful to Lower Granite for the use of their tug. Let us keep it a little longer. We painted the wheelhouse. I guess if you paint the wheelhouse, you can do anything. So,
so this is not only a rake issue, it's a crane issue.
Yeah, and this is not a new issue I've discovered. I was cleaning out, I've been there almost a year now, so I started cleaning out all the excess paperwork that I knew now after being there a year that I didn't need anymore, and it was like a ton of stuff, a huge pile. But I did find some stuff in there in 95, 96, 97 about the debris problem and a publication dealing with that and everything like that. And they showed a picture of the debris raft in 1995. It was a lot bigger than the one we had before we started cleaning the first round a few weeks ago. You know, so debris's been a problem.
It's not a new
time.
Issue for Mary now.
Yeah, it's not a new issue.
But I'm still concerned about this rake then. Is it
so Carl
early usable, or is this something that you're limping along, can only use once a while? Or
well, we've been really lucky. We can't use it at all right now. It's not functional, not safe. We've been really lucky. We haven't had any debris build up on the trash rack, probably because we were lassoing debris and hauling it out of there and given it to John Day. You know?
Right.
But, yeah, John Day's problem now.
So by the end of the year, you should have something that's mended together for use.
For use next year.
That's correct.
So we'll
and it'll be functional like the one that has been in place. It will be rated lower, so the scoops will have to be smaller, the amount of debris, so it'll be more labor intensive. Instead of one time down, it'll be three times down.
Tumbleweeds and stuff, because I do worry about getting tumbleweeds.
Yeah, we've been awful lucky, because if it plugged up now, we just have to shut units down.
Right.
And there's nothing
I
do.
Right, we'll finish the process. That's what concerns me.
And so what he referred to, the upgrade, is really the crane mechanism, not necessarily just the raking mechanism. I kind of misled you there, but essentially
more than
the amount.
It goes all the way back to the deck of the dam.
It
basically.
Goes back.
Yeah, it's the center hoist, basically, that the problem is.
On that crane.
Yeah, okay. The movable one.
Right.
There's a couple
right.
of them.
The slides out.
So it's...
That's
we,
an
we need a new crane.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bottom line, we need a spare crane.
That's been working its way up the river, new cranes.
Yeah, it's a touchy issue. I think the history is that there was a review done something like 10 years ago by HDC in Portland, and this one didn't make the list because it was going through a rehab, and as you're probably aware, in the last few years it's been rehab after rehab.
We could have built a new crane for what would have been on it.
So, you know, we might be getting closer to being able, but I had actually a discussion with Art Maldonado on this back in probably May of this year, and he walked me through what I just told you about the HDC, and, you know, there's kind of some hurdles to get over because that's capital money, you know, so that goes out into the large cap fund and whatnot, but, you know, right now, I think you have something that's more reliable, hopefully for the next couple years, in terms of you can raise your screens, you're going to be able to raise your screens, we can put in bulkheads. Those are things that we've had problems with the last 2 years. So
what is there this is sort of a critical infrastructure issue, I take it, it's on the list.
Yes.
Is there any schedule on when we get a new crane?
It's not on the critical infrastructure list at this point in time, but we could talk, you know, Carl could kind of highlight that with Dave. It's certainly being watched very carefully, and people are looking for mechanisms. So we now have a new tech section lead in operations, Dwayne Weston, and so he's aware. He's been around the district for quite some time. He's kind of aware of the history of this crane, and in a PDT meeting on the Crane 5 trash rake issue, he spoke up when Dave was Coleman. The operations project manager was talking about it, about his frustration as well, and looking for mechanisms down the line to try to bring that back around. So it's kind of it's sort of caught up in process a little bit.
Is Walla Walla critical infrastructure list on the web page, or is this just for the district?
It should be.
So it's all.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, feedback.
By district.
That's good. Yeah, I just want to make sure it was there to see what you guys have on that, because these cranes are, you know, critical for fisheries. We need to have those cranes cleaning, so it's...
Well, we've really got it down to an art now for removing the debris with the mini tub. We're going to get our own tub eventually.
In the fourth
because we had trouble at first, so we figured out.
Well, yeah, you did a debris spill earlier this year. And
We did. Yeah, we had trouble at first. We tried several attempts. It didn't work well.
Right.
We finally figured out how to do it, basically using the mini tug and a log boom,
pushing the stuff,
moving it out, and opened up spillway 20. Which
sequentially
has
running units.
It did not work. We tried that. It did not work. My boss, Tim Roberts, said it wouldn't work, and he did.
I kind of wondered about that, too.
But the trick is to take the mini tug, lasso as much as you can, haul it down to spill base 17, turn it loose, race out of there, open 20, and dump it down 20. And it starts coming back towards 20. The turbines are pulling so much that way.
Does that work with both deep spill versus the split leaf, or were you always using the split leaf in bay 20?
Oh, we were using the split leaf.
So
you have to lift it all the way out. You got to lift it a foot out of the water to spill the biggest logs. Otherwise, they just sit there. They won't go. You got to lift
it out. Big surface spill.
So it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, it only takes them about 10 minutes to switch that thing over to where the control room can operate the split leaf. It's not a very long process. I was there when they were doing it.
Out there and change chains and stuff.
So just locking pins is all you do.
And the other thing we do, we close the orifices near where they're working, because when we didn't do that before and they're messing around, it actually plugged up the screens. We almost had to shut down the channel. We got it going again, but boy, it was scary night.
So this is stuff that's coming loose.
And yeah. It comes loose when you're messing with it. Yeah, but the smart thing. But we learned you don't have to shut down the unit. You just close the orifices along the stretch, like it's the last time, like 2 through 6, we closed the orifices just for a short period of time. But that was all it took, and we got the stuff out of there and opened them back up again.
Okay. How much do you get debris in there?
Sorry. Who's on the phone?
Is there a way we could do that during the slow season?
Well, obviously when the TSW is open, you can do it, but you got to be careful where you put the motors. You're going to lose it.
And I don't want to shut orifices off during the fish season, the middle of the fish season.
Yeah.
What's that?
In August, we had a ton of debris we didn't get to spill until later. So if there's a way you could do it in season, that might be better.
I wish we'd started it earlier. We were trying to get it going. We finally talked higher ups into doing it.
I'm doing the conference.
So you're still seeing this debris build up even with the surface, the TSWs in operation?
It's not so bad with the TSWs. You know, they really tend to suck stuff out. But there's always debris out there. But it really started building up around the middle to the end of August is when it really started building on us.
Even though there were TSWs.
We shut down. Well,
no. TSWs were out.
They shut down by around early July. They shut down early July.
But that's our issue.
And as soon as you shut them down, that's when the stuff starts building.
Yep.
So July, August, by mid-August it was getting pretty bad. We were really pushing to do a spill. But we finally developed a technique to do it. We tried several different things, but the boat works better than anything. So I think it really works.
Yeah. It just concerns me that we're getting more debris into the bypass system at that time when you're doing that. That could cause some problems there. Closing the orifice is not a good idea. At least not for very long. It's an hour,
less than an hour. It's no different than when they clean VBSs.
Okay. Yeah, we did all three of them. It is less than a 20-minute spill. Each time you bring a load over, we did three loads. We only had authority to do three spills, so we did the three spills, and that did it. The first time took more than that. I forgot how many. Probably half a dozen.
Well, it's something that I guess, we're kind of hoping. Tim Roberts had talked about sort of the same issue that you're bringing up here, and we considered having him call in lieu of you folks going to be reviewing the McNary COP to be aware. But I think Carl has told you here, you know, by using the split leaf spill that he's more successful than using the deep spill. And so that kind of gives you the information, that you might want to consider as you look at pass forward.
I'm just thinking if we can keep the problem from developing in the first place by having those TSWs running the lead.
Yeah, this is my first year there, so I'm still learning. But I would have really, really pushed to be spilling by the middle of August to get rid of that stuff. Because it was causing us a lot of problems. One day we had 32 trash can loads in the raceways. That's the time we shut her down. You just can't.
When you're passing all that through orifices and stringing the gatewells, everything. It's coming down.
Everything.
Screens and everything.
That's the end of the line. Just 32 trash can loads one day.
That's too much.
And it was just killing our crew.
Most of this stuff is tumbleweed stuff, or are we?
No, this was sticks, fine woody debris. Towards the end, we started getting more and more milfoil, but mostly sticks and small woody debris and whatnot like that, and bark and whatnot. Yeah, you name it, it's there.
It's been an extraordinary year. We have seen some excessive debris buildups again in October, the previous 2 weeks. Interestingly enough, we didn't see anything yet some years ago. This time, but the two previous weekends we had to call structural crews for emergency removal, cleaning from the gatewells and trash racks, which is unusual for October.
So is it just wood chips? Is any of this coming from industry? Or is it all
it's
natural?
Not clearly definable material. I'm not sure where all it's coming from. A lot of it's just scrap wood. And my philosophy, is that large woody debris. Yeah, it's good for the river. Even if it's floating, it provides habitat for fish.
But
it doesn't have to be
stuff.
Yeah, but even the small sticks, are are usable, but we get those, the small sticks are coming through the system, you know. And
they always do.
Ground up bark or whatever that stuff is.
That's what seems odd. I don't know, you know, after August, most of the bank stuff should have been washed off by the fresh, I would think.
Well, this was an unusual year, but I saw back in 95 there was a lot more debris there than it was this year. Mm-hmm. We thought this was bad.
We're seeing this at Snake River Projects?
You're seeing, I remember,
they're doing spills.
We had a Lomo spill
a couple of times.
About 3 days before, so it was last Tuesday we did it at McNary, and I think it was either that Thursday before at Lomo there was a spill.
Yeah, of course, the NTSW is running up there.
What about the Columbia, the PUDs, are they, I'm sure they had debris issues, are they
heard anything
working on those debris issues right now, or were they in September until that stuff just accumulating, they're just passing it?
So that maybe that's a possibility with the higher flows this year, that huge big cul-de-sac around Tri-Cities, you know, in the Columbia, that something else worked in there through that industrial area as well.
We get a lot of vegetation down the Yakima River. It's some of it's milfoil, but some of it's native type stuff, I think. It's not milfoil, it's some other stuff that supposedly comes down the Yakima.
I just wonder if it's, you know, being McNary is not the only, this is the only dam without surface bypass that time of year, if that's not part of the problem.
It might be.
A weird year for it, you know, early.
Yeah.
With high flows. And, you know, with the high flows, I guess the debris is coming out of those little coves that, you know, just been sitting there for a couple, 3 years. The last big flows we had were probably, 96, or 2006.
Right.
2007. That was a big year then.
We've seen that kind of problem up there.
We've seen that problem up in...
Well, let's think about this as we go through the year. I mean, if we get into August and we start seeing this develop, we may, you know, I don't know how quickly you can put TSWs in if we have new ones
Along that same line, you know, changing hats a little bit to what I was doing before, you know, one of the alternatives that was going to be considered for long-term at McNary was some sort of a rehab so that you had the ability to leave them in and possibly be adjustable. So, you know, adjustable TSWs. And I think I sort of gave a little pitch at my last conference call with you guys, or last Fitterwig or something. Everybody looked at me like, go stick your head in the toilet, you know. But, you know, it's the debris issue. It's also the adult fallback issue. So this will be the second year of studying that. You know, you're pushing hard on that.
And later in the year, I'd like to see it run. I guess the issue, we've already gone through the analysis with sub-yearling Chinook. I don't think that it's helping us for those fish, but most of those fish are pretty much out of there by mid-August or even early August. So it may be that we see that...
If we wanted to switch the spill pattern to allow the project to store these in a particular bay, then we could readily use them, but we'd have to have some adjustment, and we'd work without that bay in the spill pattern.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, that's something that sounds like a good fiddling discussion about how we design that. And ideally, you'd be able to deploy them as you need them, you know, and still have the bay to operate. I know it's not like you got tainter valves.
It's a different design than what we currently have, and I don't think that it necessarily has to be hugely costly, but, you know, everything seems to be these days. Yeah. But, you know, going to something, at least in one of the bays, maybe more similar to what we would have at Little Goose, we probably could more readily deploy. One of the things that has to happen before these kind of go into mainline and operations accepts them is, you know, they're down a spill gate because one was modified for TSWs, and there's some other things that are going to have to take place just to finalize if we ever make those permanent, sort of like Lower Granite RSW. And so some discussions in Fitterwig of some of the other needs that you may have functionally is appropriate.
Yeah, I think, well, the key is to be able to use them when you need them, rather than having to go through a long, you know, installation process, but actually, you know, maybe not a push button, but at least something that takes less than a day.
Well, I'm wondering about something like Spill Bay 22, where you don't really like to use that in the spill pattern, but maybe that's a good place to store one of the...
It'd be good for a dark passage, it'd be
off
good for
season.
The great passage.
Yeah.
It's not... Yeah.
So I think maybe you can entertain some thoughts like that, because it's easy to exclude that from the spill pattern, and yet it meets the needs here for both debris and adults, probably.
Okay, let's keep that. This is an issue. It's an all issue.
And where's that going to? Where's that discussion going to continue? So as far as for August 2012,
it's a fitter wing.
Okay, fitter wing, I think.
NW, yeah. So for August 2012, should there be additional flexibility that the project could glean from changes? Okay.
Yeah, we may sounds be able good to adjust our approach to TSW operations in August, you know, based on what the needs that they okay see and any discussions yeah on modifications to these gates.
Great. Right. Well, before we move on, I heard Aaron Jackson join us. Did Ben, did you join us as well? Houseman?
I bet he's over at the convention center.
Yeah.
What's going on?
No.
No. Yeah, Lawrence, yeah, Lawrence is probably
American
in your
Indian
office.
Conference.
Where is everybody?
American yep Indians.
I lost. Oh, well.
I'm here. This is Aaron Jackson.
Are
I'm
used to that.
Okay. No. All right, we'll call. He is called 10 o'clock, Tom, so we'll give him that 5 more minutes. Okay, so we're going to move on with updates to Colin Naris, update for transport.
Okay.
Goose and Lomo.
Essentially, everybody's probably aware that Goose stopped October 31st transport, so they are done for the season. The last truck went out that day. I think the only other update is Granite also stopped that day, but their last truck is going out today. Back to Colin Naris, ODFW took some of the mortalities to their pathology lab in LeGrand in an effort to verify that it was Colin Naris back in October. Essentially, it was only a percentage. So it was a third on the one date of the mortalities were actually attributable. And so they were going to look for some of the other things like BKD and possibly virus as well. And those results haven't been coming back to us. But I was glad that they took, you know, had the availability of that, because verifying what is causing that, you know, helps for better management in the future. So it wasn't just Little Goose. As you're probably aware, we went to Everyday Transport at Lomo, and essentially that was September 22nd, after about a week and a half of coordination that John Bailey did, largely through Paul Wagner from the NIPS group, and he was interacting with FPAC. And there was kind of this off-again, on-again, and so what was happening is as the actual collected fish numbers would go down, then the percent mortality would skyrocket. So, you know, you'd get to like less than 100 fish, and suddenly, you know, your percent mortality might be as high as either 30 to 60%. And so it looked horrible, and then the numbers would go back up, then it would drop down to maybe 15, you know, 10, sometimes below that. So
meters, very typical.
It was monitored largely for a week, because about the time John was ready to jump on it after watching it for that first weekend, then it was down. We were collecting more fish. It was down. But then it popped back up. He worked back through Paul again, and Paul interacted kind of with the FPAC group, and then the path forward was just go ahead and start Everyday Transport. So that took place then until they were finished at the end of the month. But we didn't get any pathological information from there. So the Little Goose information is the only verification of Colin Naris. So I think that, I'm not sure if I've left any holes. People just need to ask me a question if that's not clear.
Well, why don't we just keep it on an update, just a reminder, so when you get that report.
When we get that information on the disease. Okay.
Find out what it is.
Yeah. Perfect.
Did anybody think about looking at the source of these fish? Is there any way to pin down genetic
pit tags?
Or pit tag collections?
Pit tags.
Go to wire tags?
Let's see.
Wire tags?
That could maybe
they're
be
all that fish. You got them in hand.
Right.
You know, where they're from.
Were they mainly wild or hatchery fish?
Clips? No clips?
We don't. Yeah, we don't have that breakout. We could ask that question.
That's a good question to ask.
So maybe an update the next time on what the composition was at that point.
Let's find out where they're getting that.
If we have information, were they all from a particular hatchery, or 30%
really,
of them from one and 30 from another, and each has different diseases. So.
Okay.
Try to pin that down. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any genetic work that's done.
Well, there's no ongoing genetic sampling taking place, so, but I think pit tags potentially maybe help answer the question you're asking.
If they were a tag stock, you know, they might not be.
But they're checking for them, though.
Yeah, they can check for it. You know, generally, I think they do check for everything that goes out. I mean, SMP generally does all the time. I know they're very diligent in that.
I'm sure they do for the boards as well, but coil wire tanks, I don't know. They would have clips, so, you know, were they clipped or not?
So that could be asked to the SMP group. If they have a record of where these fish came from.
If they had a
tag or something like that. You know, I don't think that ODFW standardly in their weekly reports does the pit download of where, you know, sources of fish are. I know McNary and I think Laura Granite, maybe Lomo, do a weekly what's been going through the facility. So we could maybe request that. If they can't do it, they may come back to you guys to. So what we could do is provide dates then and maybe ask, you know, kind of for a subsequent analysis of what you think was going through.
Well, yeah, it'd be good to know if these fish were just hanging on the reservoir, where they have been, or were they coming more recently from
some hatchery.
Some hatchery. Or false shot. So, I don't know.
Why is there? Gary, this seems to occur every year in late August. To some extent, the difference this year that I noticed was the water temperatures were still cold, were relatively speaking a lot colder,
it was colder
than
here,
in past years when we had the same thing. It was above 70 degrees up there in the reservoirs, and this year it wasn't. So, but we were having the same thing occur. So that warm water in the reservoir.
Which is what you're managing your flow augmentation for to some extent, is to minimize columnaris, and maybe that fits in with the scenario that the pathology is painting, is that it was only a third that had columnaris, and maybe it's something else that really was the issue this year.
The temperature was only a couple degrees lower this year, wasn't it? It wasn't dramatic, I don't think.
I don't
remember. Not as low as we could expect, though, really.
It is interesting that it took place. I mean, because it was a cooler summer over there. I mean, you know, the weather pattern along the Snake, we didn't have that 2 weeks of really hot weather in the hundreds that we standardly have.
For all we know, there could be just a bunch of sick hatchery fish.
Or that's what you
wonder. Could be getting the disease while they're over there.
Is there something that came in, or we have a problem with the reservoir that's building up?
Yeah. And we don't know.
It might be something like a new virus.
So might be a new protocol here for when we take fish that are going to the pathology lab to get that information.
Well, we almost may need to look for a way to have a pathology lab readily available in the future if we really want to do effective monitoring.
Who do these go to?
Well, in this case, Oregon had a pathology lab that they were able to just run some of these through kind of voluntarily. The Corps didn't really have anything in place where we could just send something out.
Something like the Cook or whatever, to the Fish and Wildlife Service, or it's like whatever they are these days.
Abernathy.
I don't know, even Dorshak has a fish health.
Fish health is still Fish and Wildlife Service.
There's a fish health in Willard?
Yeah,
they've been there for.
Do that at WSU. Use that through.
They used to be in Cook, Gary. They're up in Willard now. Have been for a couple of years.
Yeah. 1 mile. 1 mile.
Okay.
That's right. They have that new building.
Sorry,
there.
I stand correct.
It's a fairly new building.
Are they more flushed out than what I know that as part of the O&M at Dorshak, we have fish health work being done up there too? I mean,
the fish health lab there at Willard is doing all the facilities here in the lower end.
So
are they the ones that checked for that columnaris and confirmed it?
No. It was ODFW pathology lab. I think they may be funded by BPA. I'm not positive on that.
You're not sure if they check for tags or anything like that? We could ask
We'll ask that question. We'll try to come back with a little better summary. Hopefully they'll have some other results of what else they checked and either did or didn't find, and we'll ask whether they were wild or hatchery and if there's any information on source of fish. So we'll bring that back to the next.
Clear it out why.
And possibly interact with you guys.
Yep.
We'll also hook up with the Fish Health Center in Willard.
And as far as the triggers go, are we satisfied with how it occurred this year, and are folks satisfied? For example, you had alluded to collection goes down and then mortality skyrockets. Have there been any discussions to either change the FPP for the triggers, or Are we happy with how things are going? Because it seems like this happens every year. We get low collection, we get some disproportionately high mortality, everybody panics, mortality at 30, but it's 30 fish out of 100. Are we talking about changing Appendix B, or are we okay with the way it's going?
Because we're actually hoping to make some modifications based on whether we should go to everyday transport or back to the river, just because when the decisions were made for Little Goose and Lomo, while everybody, the majority agreed, I think Scott Betton came in at one point and said, hey, and we've talked about this every year, and I thought we agreed that we're going to just put them back to the river when we got below certain numbers. And I think, the core, on the other hand, one of the other things we're trying to do is find some efficiencies with this program, because like everything, you know, we're having a hard time keeping it funded. And so we would like to have some discussions as we go through the fish passage plan to look for these efficiencies. Number one, try to set maybe a bottom line number that we've collected before we would transport. Otherwise, we'd go to bypass and have some of those discussions. So the answer is yes, we'd like to.
Great.
But I've been told that we were supposed to try to do all of those at one point in time rather than have these discussions throughout the fall here. So that we work through a lot of the FPP changes a little bit later in the winter.
Okay.
So it's going to be out, but it seems...
But it's on folks' radar, something to look into.
It's definitely on the radar of trying to address it better, because, you know, all of the in-season coordination takes a lot of everybody's time, and if we can have something written down that everybody's agreed to, things can just be implemented. It's amazing how much time coordination takes. I mean, you start wondering what people do, and boy, coordination, you know, tracking you guys down and trying to get everybody to agree is
we appreciate it.
All right, so why don't you guys work on that and have it ready for the fish passage plan this coming winter, which is soon down the road.
But it should be noted that core change forms are due in early November, so that we can get the draft out.
Which is today the 1st?
That's early November's today.
Right, and normally it would be due the 1st. Mine and Doug's birthdays are the key points there.
Dates.
Happy birthday to us. But it'll be November.
Deadlines weren't finalized, by the way. Yeah, they are subject to change.
Mm-hmm. Right, they're always subject to change. I'm very flexible and accommodating things, but to get the draft out to the region, we need to have those change forms in so that they can be incorporated. And Walla Walla goes to Lisa.
Oh, well, Lisa's the point of contact.
Well, I mean, this is later in the agenda, but we can talk about this now since it's a nice little segue. But essentially, Doug's been gracious enough to let me take over the FPP this year.
So you can choose the cover.
That's right. Yeah.
So, if you have any suggestions for the cover.
And move everything around.
Yeah.
Move it around.
Reformat it.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
good.
What you want.
It's got to be confusing.
So,
how do you feel, Bill?
You have a lot to
do.
We like change, don't we?
Yeah.
So,
I'll let Admire answer that one.
Yeah. I think last year the due dates were November 1, but because of this bump back in the FPOM meeting, we were looking at, I'm thinking, so a couple weeks out. So typically, I think, let's see, the 12th is a Saturday. So Veterans Day is a Friday.
I told everybody about
that. So how about December? The following Tuesday, November 15th? So 2 weeks from today. And that would be for... draft change forms for FPOM review.
Does it include?
That's the 15th. Is that what you just said?
November 15th. Draft